Everyone's done.
So I just have to.
Okay, we want to start the fourth perek tonight, which is called Lev Nifta, the surprised heart. Let's just summarize what we know from the first three chapters of Ubikash Misham, so that we'll be able to focus in on this chapter, on the fourth chapter. What we know so far is that within the context of the metaphor of Shir HaShirim, the Raya, that's Knesset Yisrael, is looking for the Dod, is seeking out her lover, HaKadosh Baruch. What we know is that she looks out at nature, and through nature, through the perception of what we call the cosmology, the cosmos, she sees the hand of God. Rav Soloveitchik puts a tremendous emphasis on the concept of bracha. The bracha is meant to convert all of nature into miracle, into ness. To see that everything that we observe in nature is really the hand of God. And he gets very dramatic about it, very poetic. Different aspects, different dimensions of the physical universe, things that happen, the laws of nature, the galaxies, the stars, the constellations, the sun rising, the tides, even a bee circulating around, or some sort of insect circulating around a bulb, a light bulb. Everything is the hand of God. Everything is a revelation of God. And this is how the Raya seeks out the Dod. That was, in a sense, Roman numeral number one that we studied in Bikashta Misham. Then we get to Roman numeral number two. And here, the Dod, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is hiding. Nowhere to be found. And what the thesis that the Rav presents here in this context, and this is just the background to what we want to cover tonight, is that as long as man is searching for God, although sporadically, occasionally, he will succeed in finding God through nature, however, this, according to the Jewish philosophy, is not going to guarantee success. The Dod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is hiding from the Raya, from men. Even if man takes steps and makes progress, moves towards Almighty God and discovering Him, but this is not reliable. This is not going to guarantee success. And in chapter 3 of Vikashta Misham, the Rav presents his thesis. I'm just going to summarize a few of the points, because we've already seen this in the past. And the points that he makes are, number one, man is finite. He cannot possibly comprehend the infinite. Number two, Almighty God living in the spaces that are infinite eludes man, frightens man. As man tries to get close to God, man realizes that God is further and further away. The Rav goes into a discussion about Greek philosophy and Spinoza, if you recall. When man tries to use his intellect to discover God through the cosmological argument, he ends up with a God that is totally out of man's realm, living in the hidden, in the beyond. He says, What is Aristotle's view of God? Is some sort of pure form, a supreme concept of being, the prime mover of the world. Can we know such a being? Can we come close to such a being? He mentions the fact that we have negative attributes. We can never describe God for what God really is in and of himself, but rather we use negative attributes to say what God is not. God is not finite. God doesn't have a body. God is not divisible. But we never can really get a grasp of God himself. He speaks about Spinoza. Spinoza comes up with the idea of substance with infinite attributes. And basically the world itself is identical to Almighty God. That's what we call pantheism. Ultimately, says the Rav, he who relies on this logical, cognitive approach to God, he tries to seek out God through the cosmos, he will end up ruined, faithless. Look at all the heretical movements that denied God and turned everything upside down. He goes on to say that seeking God within existence, within finite existence, is risky. It's a daring adventure. And it's threatened to failure. There are moments of inspiration, and people do hear the sound of the Almighty moving through the garden of being, meaning in our being, but ultimately the echo of God fades away and it's swallowed up in the expanses of the infinite. And therefore, she, the Raya, does not find him, the Dode. In other words, as long as man looks at nature in the finite world and tries to reveal Almighty God, the Shekhinah and its glory, man will not succeed. And ultimately, he who uses his logic to find God will go mad and will deny God. That's the thesis of the Rav in the third perek of Ubikashta Misham. He clinches it off in a very strange kind of way. I told you last time I had a lot of trouble with this. At the end, the third section of the third chapter, he makes a sort of turnaround. He has a different presentation. He says that man could have possibly discovered his creator if not for sin. And as a result of sin, God removes himself from this earth. In Kabbalistic terms, there's some sort of klipos that separate man from Almighty God. God raises himself to a higher level, transcends the world, and man living in this world cannot find infinite God. So for all these reasons, and many more, the Raya is not able to discover the Dode. And here in chapter 4, the Dode appears to the Raya. And again, following in the footsteps of the metaphor of Shir HaShirim, the Dode comes knocking on the door of the Raya. The Raya was seeking her beloved, her lover. She did not succeed. The lover eluded her, hiding, as it were, in the infinite worlds that are transcendental, that are beyond human experience. So the Dode reveals himself to the Raya. And what we're hoping for at this juncture is that the revelation of God is going to be a lot happier and more positive in its results than the unsuccessful attempt of the Raya to find the Dode. But don't count your chickens before they hatch, because ze lo pashut. Okay, so now we're going to read in the Hebrew. This is chapter 4, which is called Lev Nifta. This is the heart that's surprised. Now notice what's going on here. The Raya is exhausted. She falls asleep. The Dode now knocks on the door to figuratively, not literally, wake up the Raya from her slumber. And as you know, the tragic episode that's going to continue here in Shir HaShirim, she never really lets the Dode in. Mevakesh hadoret rayato. The lover is now looking for his beloved, searching for her. Yafato, his beautiful one. Mevakesh hatsur, what is tsur? The creator. Et hayitzira, the created. Who is the tsur looking for? Et hayishiyut haruchanit, the spiritual personality. Dofeku al petach ha'ohel, he knocks at the gates, at the opening of her tent. Velochesh, and he whispers, belahat ohavim, with the passion of a lover. Pitchi liachoti rayati tamati, open up for me, my sister, my beloved, my perfect one. Ka'amur lamala, as we've established earlier, bakashat elokim al yidei ha'adam, man searching God, mitgalemet, it reflects or expresses itself bipula sichlit, in an intellectual search for God. Kol anshei hadat, all men of knowledge, in other words, universal man or man of science, mevakshim et elokim, man has within him a natural desire to seek out God. Baram, however, mevakshim elu, those who seek out God, kifishit gashnuil, kishibaim ligvul hacharon shel mamash, when they come to the final boundary of reality, nivhalim v'nisogim achar, all of a sudden, they become overwhelmed. They're alarmed, and they move backwards. They retreat. The revelation of God is so complicated, out of the infinity and the eternity of His being, that nivhalim, they become frightened. Kishehem meumatim, that's a very good word in modern Hebrew, imut is a confrontation. When they confront imanetzach, the infinity or the eternity, immerchakim mavhilim, with spaces that are terrifying, shemoshchim v'gam dochim, on the one hand, they draw man's attention, v'gam dochim, but they repel and reject man, ma'odidim, they encourage, v'gam lo'agim, but they also laugh and scoff at man. Because the distance between finite man and infinite absolute God is so endless, that on the one hand, man is curious, he wants to come close, but he's terrified by God. Kulam mafsikim et darkam, all of this endeavor, all these members of the Anshei Hadat, finally stop in their tracks, frozen in their tracks. They're not able to go all the way and complete the journey successfully. Harbe mehem nevochim, many of them become confused. Harbe nevhalim, many become overwhelmed with fear. Umekatzitzim b'netiyot, that's a phrase that Chazal used to refer to apikursos. They end up denying God. Rak achadim, only a few nisharim remain nitzavim, they stand steadfast. Mul hamistorim, facing the mystery. Hanishkaf, which presents itself and is revealed to man, umetzapim liyeshua, and they hope and pray for salvation, et elokim, asher oto heima dorshim. Kan hi nekudat mashper. This is the point, the crossroads of crisis. Kan ba gilui elokim me'al l'teva. At this point, when man is ready to despair, when he's overwhelmed by fear, terrified by Almighty God, then God reveals Himself above nature. Me'ever lametziut hamukefet halal uzman, above and beyond the reality that is bound by space and time. Helokim mitgalel yitzirato me'ever ume'al l'teva. God reveals Himself to His creatures from beyond and above nature. Umenabe et bnei adam. And he prophesizes to man. What is the greatest prophecy that man receives of all time? Zohi HaTorah HaChadasha SheNitna miSinai. But to whom is the Torah given at Sinai? Just 3 months ago, La'avodim, they were slaves. Now, recently, they became B'nei Chorin. Halalu nitnu li olam, and they in turn received the Torah and shared it with the nations of the world. Hello, Kim mitgalela Adam. Where does God appear to man, reveal himself? Bishimon, in the desert. As the Pasuk says at the end of Sefer Dvarim in Perek Lamed Beis, Yimtza'eu bi'eretz midbar, God finds man in the desert, bitohu, in the nothingness, yalel yishimon yisovaveri yivonaneri yitzrenu ki yishon einan. Lo be'eretz no shevet point, the Rav points out, why doesn't God appear to man in a very well-settled land, porachat, which is flourishing? No. Ki im ba'arvot, in the plains of a midbar gadol v'nora, of a frightening desert, a desolate place, Eretz Nishiyah, a wasteland, v'tzalmavet, in the shadow of death. There, Mofia Hakel, Almighty God appears, reveals himself miravot kodesh, from the myriads of holiness. B'shash nidme ki'ilu chadal ha'adam levakesh ad Elokim, just at that moment, when man is willing to throw in the towel, he cannot discover God. He's exhausted. He's terrified. B'midbar ha'shomeim, he finds himself in a wasteland. So the Rav sees the idea that the Torah is given in the Midbar as symbolizing man in his low state, when he's ready to give up, to give up ship. Ki'ilu hisiach et ato, he's given up. Min hakol, from everything. Az, just at that juncture, you would think that God would reveal himself to man when man is feeling uppity, when he's feeling wonderful, when he's embracing all of nature as the revelation of God. Then God would say, peep out and smile to him. No. Dafka, when man is at his lowest state, he's in a state of midbar, he's ready to give up ship, then God reveals himself. But don't misunderstand. Ein agilui ma'ane l'sheilat ha'adam ufik pukav. Don't think for one moment, says Rav Soloveitchik, that God's revelation to man is a response to man's seeking out God, to man's questioning, to his doubts, chazono, to his dream, his vision, ukmiato, his longing for God. Oh no, we'll see very clearly that that's not what motivates Kaviochel to reveal himself. Ein mar'ot Elokim hagba. Hagba, I think, should be tguva. What do you have?
Tguva.
You have tguva. See, I have the original, but it was corrected in the later version. This I picked up in my house in Har Nov. The display of the revelation of God is not a response lecherig hayitzur, to the yearnings of the created being. Elokim ba pitom. God all of a sudden shows up, suddenly. B'shasha gilui olev machshava lefanav. You notice the Rav is utilizing a phrase that appears in Chazal, olev machshavti. That's whenever man cannot understand the will of God, the will of God eludes man, it's beyond human comprehension, that's when Chazal used the term, olev kach also machshava lefanav. God reveals himself when he decides, when his divine will is to reveal himself. There are no rational explanations, no answers to the question why. Ein ha'adam yodea, man does not know, v'yef shalol, he can never possibly know, matai, when God will reveal himself, umadua, and why. God will reveal himself in the most unexpected situations and moments in history. Humaftia et ha'adam, that's the name of this chapter, he surprises man. Sheino mitzapel Yeshua, because man is no longer holding out any sort of hope for salvation, for an encounter with Almighty God. V'sheino mituraf gaguim, at this point man is not mad with longings and yearnings. Sheino amus sod ma'aseh breshit, he's not burdened by the mystery of creation. He's not asking existential questions about God. Heloka pogea bebosar vidom hamistapek begili ubishitchi. God encounters man when man is at his state of flesh and blood, his lowest state, physicality. At the state in which man is very happy, mistapek, he's very what word am I looking for? Satisfied, excellent. He's satisfied with that which is revealed, that which he sees in the physical universe, appears to his eyes, ubishitchi, that which is superficial. Vamestager v'klipat tolada afurat zuhuva shomema. When man is confined to an existence of klipa, klipa is a word that I think the Rav borrows from the Zohar and the mystical writings. It's the husk, which is afura, it's gray and it's yellow and it's desolate. Man is on a low state spiritually. He's not looking for anything beyond, you know, food and sustenance. Kishasara nichbeshet, that flame within man, that storm, that emotional upheaval within man to look for God and not be satisfied with his life, nichbeshet, has been subdued. Kishachefetz hadrisha kala, when his desire to seek out God, to be Dorish Elokim, kala, is completely detonated, it's completely dead. Kshalev mit tamtem, the heart of man is completely sullied, soiled, closed up. Hanashaman nikpat, the soul of man is frozen. Vekol hakiyum gavea, and the entire existence is one of dying siyut, siyutei martema, siyut is horrible nightmares in his sleep. Nechsaf eloka, just at that moment, God reveals himself. Maybe because man has gone too far. And if God doesn't reveal himself, man will fall off the cliff. It'll be irreversible. But whatever it is, the bottom line, nechsaf eloka, God reveals himself, mihit badluto, from his lowliness, his separateness, visodiuto, his secret mysteriness, umofia el hadam, and he appears in front of man. And the rest of this chapter, the Rav is going to try to prove this thesis, that God surprises man and appears when man is on the brink of a deep abyss, a spiritual abyss, in which he's about to fall all the way down, down, down. Hit artalut, the exposure, ha'echad, of the one, with a capital O, ha'satum, the mysterious one, la'olam shel tov vavo, in a world of chaos, mishum shekach ritzono, that's when God decides to reveal himself. That's the inscrutable will of God. We cannot figure it out. Zoi gilui shchina, that's what we mean when we speak about all the Torah and all the Chazal about gilui shchina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitgaleh, when does God reveal himself to Adam HaRishon? Is it when Adam HaRishon believes in God, embraces God, as the beloved Raya seeks out God? No. When man is absolutely submerged in the mire, in the deep mire of sin, of the original sin, shenatko, which disconnected him with a small h, me'al yotzro, from him with a capital H, velotzi paligilu shchina, man is hiding himself. He doesn't think that God is going to reveal himself. Yisrael yotzim Mitzrayim, avadim shenitfesu l'sira basar v'chol matamav. The Jewish people reached the lowest level, the 49th level of Tumah. They were involved in the sira basar of Mitzrayim. They had zero concepts of spirituality and Torah. They couldn't even pray. Adayin lo heviru zuamat hashibud. They haven't yet removed from their souls the filth of subjugation. Lo na'aru, they didn't even shake off from themselves et avak halavenim, the dust of the bricks. Me'al dmuti uknam, from their spiritual image. They were really shakua in avdus, in the memtesh arituma, ve'elokim mitgaleh v'chodesh hashlishi l'tzeitam. 49 days later, God reveals himself. Chotim be'egel. In the midbar, they sin with the egel. Bogdim be'bal nirehem. How do you translate bogdim? That traitors, right? They are disloyal to their lovers, their childhood lovers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu yored ba'anan mishmei arvot. God comes down, reveals himself in the cloud from the plains of the heavens, u'mityatzev him Moshe, and he stands and presents himself in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bereshit mitgaleh Elokim la'adam b'shat tigboret haresha shebo'olam. God, oddly enough, paradoxically reveals himself to man at a moment when evil is growing in the world. B'shat siluk yif'at hachayim. When the splendor of life is removed. V'chazon ha'kiyum amus ha'kodesh. When the holy filled existence is completely removed. Tchilat var Hashem hi b'shat shimamon. The initial word of God is expressed at a time of desolation, historia metaphysi, both historical and metaphysical. Kishenechshol shel yeush, when there's a wave of despair, omed lechabot, and it threatens to extinguish kol masat nefesh, any aspiration, dvaya umitkagat, when man is distressed, he no longer yearns for God, kishen nachai vidui, there's no expression of vidui, of tshuva, bokim v'olim nishmat hasovel, no reaching out on the part of man to Almighty God, even in his suffering, v'ein zakat tefila ola l'Elokav, he's not even able to formulate prayer, and then mitgaleh Elokim, God reveals himself. Zohi tfisat hayadut, this is the philosophy of Judaism. Elokim mitgaleh l'adam, God will appear and reveal himself to man b'sha'a shu nimtza b'rshuto shel ha'goral, when man is in the clutches of fate. Ha'achzar ki ya'anim, a cruel fate like that of the vultures. Natul tikva v'chazon, there doesn't seem to be any reason for hope or for a vision for the future. Pigishat alokim, man is encountered by God kidei limnoa, to forestall gerush ha'adam, the rejection of man, miestapeach benachlat alokim, from gaining some sort of inheritance in the divine portion. Hitchapsut hatzur liyitzur, the revelation of the Creator to his creatures, hataluy al blima, when his creatures are suspended over the abyss. Zeu yisod, zeu sod gilui shchina, this is the secret of revelation. Kiyum na'ala, bokeh va'oleh, a higher level of existence now breaks forth, mitoch shlila antologit, from an ontological negation. In other words, when man doesn't understand the ultimate being, then a higher level of existence all of a sudden breaks through. It's like light that breaks through the darkness. Nitya, planting, ba'a bikvot hatlisha, comes in the footsteps of uprooting. Hachurban, oddly enough, destruction, petach ligula, becomes the window for redemption. Teven ulevenim, straw and bricks. Inui ha'am v'sivlotav, the suffering of a nation and its persecution. Timtum ha'chayim, the dross of life. V'giulam, and its disgusting elements. Sofam gilui shchina, will at the end of the day bring to the revelation of shchina. Machshevet ish hadat haklali, whereas the universal homo religioso believes that darka, the way, the journey to find God, suga b'shoshanim, is strewn with flowers, v'anudat chen, and adorned with grace, he motza et asher tivakesh, according to the man of religion, he can find God who he is searching for, bidmut halogos, in the image of reason, ubidyukno shel hanus, in the image of the mind, bitzurat haorah, bidiot mitnosesot litiferet, with ideals that are displayed with glory, baharmonia tfuah, in the beautiful harmony which is inherent, bimishtar haolam, in the regulation of the natural universe, v'chein kol yotzei baseh. We can find God min achuki, from that which is lawful in the earth, hamishtari, that which is regulated in our natural world, hatova yafeh olehu el hamuchlat, from the goodness and the beauty of the world, man is capable of climbing and reaching muchlat, the ultimate, absolute, hashalem v'achad, the perfect one. That all seems very nice. Baram, however, ovedet eitzot umuvelbeleti, machshevet ish adat hakali. Everything is great and wonderful when things are moving smoothly. However, he's completely lost. He's bereft of any eitzah, of any good counsel. He's completely confused. Kishapogati ba'arai, when all of a sudden he encounters things that are transient, they're no longer regulated. Be'imisudar, when he confronts the lack of order in the universe. Bera, when he confronts evil. Beshliliyut, the negativity. Beheder, privation. Ubehiloliyut, that's chomer hiyuli, that's matterless form. Lefichach, nimnu v'gamru chachmei Yavan achronim, therefore the philosophers, the Greek philosophers in the latter period, all agree, ki achomer, that physicality, evil in the world, hu mekar kol hara v'ato shebaolam, physical matter is the source for all evil and chaos in the world. Hachomer harei l'shitatam, Rachmana Litzlan, heaven forbid, according to the Shita, chutz l'shuto shel aloka. It has to be a domain unto itself. It's not under the control of Almighty God. There are two worlds. This is what we call dualism. And this was a very popular philosophy amongst the Greeks. Mitoch mevuchutam, from their confusion, hatohemet v'yusham, hashachol amare hara, when they confront evil, black, despairing evil, which is tahomit, it goes down to the tahom, hatov avo, they see the chaos in the world, shemetziyuto shtamshu, all they could come up with was the philosophy of shniut, of duality. There are two gods, so to speak. There's the god of evil and the god of good. Kedei l'tareitzu l'va'er et ha'tofet v'et ha'davui shebchayim. That's the only way they could explain the hell and the sorrow of this world. Ha'machshava yisraelit ha'makorit. However, the original Jewish philosophy, ha'mu'ure be'emunat yitzirat yesh me'ayin, which is rooted in a firm belief to the creation of the world, of the universe, yesh me'ayin ex nihilo, muchletet, absolute, hechnisa zikat gomlin be'elokim v'adam. Only she, the thought process of the Jewish people, was able to inject a mutual relationship between man and God. And this relationship between man and God is made of two parts. Number one, drishat elokim al yedei adam, man will seek out God mitoch hegyonei, from the logic of his mind, hamesudar, and that part of the universe which is organized, which is regulated, v'mo'ar, which is lit up, bi'ar tiferet, with the splendid light, ha'yitzirah, of creation, ha'gedolah, v'nederet, which is magnificent, drisa zu bali de bitui v'shirat ha'briyah, in the Song of Songs. He's not referring to Shir Shirim, I use the phrase service, but he's referring to Tehillim of Psalms, b'perek, Kufdalid, Barchi Nafshi Et Hashem, my nefesh, my soul blesses God. Hadam Motzei Et Elokim, God, man discovers God. Behod Ha'olam, in the splendor of the world, Vahadara, in its glory. Beshefa Hanagut, in the abundance of radiance. berivorut, in the myriads, the thousands of marot, of sights, hashavim et halev, which capture man's heart, bitnua, in motion, bipula, in action, bioz, in power, bemutzak, that which is static, ubidinami, that which is dynamic, bigdula, bigvura, that which is great, that which is mighty, shebidrama, hakozma, hakozmit, in the cosmological drama. Mitoch havayat elokim zu bokat v'olak amur lemala matbeesh al brachot, man has created an entire system of blessings, hamavatot, which express hoda'a v'shevach, thanks and praise, al kiyum mitukan, on an organized existence, mitoch olam chuki v'na'eh, of a beautiful natural world that operates according to law. Brachot elu musavot, all these brachot refer klapeh talicha kozmi, the cosmological order and development, hayatziv v'nedar, which is stable and magnificent, hadam chayav lakir tova liyotzor al yitzirato matmedet, man must express gratitude and acknowledge Almighty God for the ongoing creation, right, as we say in davening mechadish betuvo, druchat ratzon echrechit kadmon, which is directed by a primordial will of necessity. However, number two, drishat ha'adam al yidei ha'lokim, there also has to be another element here in order for this experiment to succeed, and that is that God seeks out man mitoch ha'satum, from that which is obscure, va'bilti muvan, and unexplainable, k'shayitzur mugraf, when the creature is swept away b'mabolet mitziut miturefet, by a reality that is gone mad, mikrim shotim, situations that arise that make no sense, nitulei hezber utfisa, that go beyond his capacity to explain them, k'shadam omed mishta'eh umachrish ladat et al bilti nitan ladat, when man stands in bewilderment, he's borrowing a phrase here from Eliezer Eved Avram, and he's unable to unravel the mystery of the world, of the universe, and of God. Mitoch yigono, when he comes to a state of agony, of yagon, hashachor, of black agony, shal adamo made mul, hachidas tuma, when he stands confronted by the riddle that defies explanation, shal ra, of evil, b'mitziyut, in the reality of life, then mitkale Elokim. As the pasuk says in Yechezkel, and then that God, in the situation of evil, when man's blood is being spilled, God says, you will live despite the damim, the blood that's being shed. Somehow, even in the state of evil, God reveals himself, and man is capable of accepting God. Chayav adam levarech al ara is a mission in the ninth parak of Brachos. Man is called upon to bless for evil, kishem shemavarech al tova, just as he blesses for good. V'lehov et hamakom, to love God b'chol midah midah shemodeh, with every measure that God gives out. Sometimes it's good and it's glorious, and sometimes just the opposite. V'ahavt et Hashem elkecha b'chol nafshecha. The pasuk in Dvarim Perek Vav that we recite in Kriyat Shema. Say Chazal v'sifri afilu v'shashu notel es nafshecha. Gam mitoch midat hadina kasha. Even when man is suffering under the strict and harsh judgment of God, shadam eino yachol la'amod al tiva v'al ma'uta, despite the fact that man cannot understand or explain the evil in the world, Nechsaf Elokeel, God reveals himself. Gam mitoch hashlila vasatur, even in the negativity, even in the chaos, which is totally unpenetrable, totally understandable, bokeh va'oleh dayan ha'emet, the true judge, reveals himself. Machshevet halacha tohal ara lo b'pchina metaphysit. How does the halacha deal with evil? What's its relationship, its response to evil in this world? It doesn't ask metaphysical questions of why. Ela mibchina musavit hilchatit. There's got to be a moral halachic response to evil in this world. The halacha doesn't ask mipnei ma, why, v'lama, el l'shem ma. What message do I take from evil? Munyeneti, the interest of halacha, lo ba'aspek ha-sibati, not in the causative element, what causes evil, but rather ki'im b'b'china tachlitit shalara. What is the goal? How is man moved by evil to act and achieve a certain goal? She'ilata ha-halachik shayla hi she'ila hilchatit, ma ya'aseh adam ha-mu'umat im ha-sevel. Man in his state of confronting sevel, suffering, what should he do? V'chai, to live. V'yishge, and he should flourish. V'yishge. Eich nefoch hara l'koch yotzer. How can man convert evil into a creative, positive force? Eich afshal l'shtamesh barah. Can he utilize evil l'shem hagbarat shelton atov, for the ultimate goal of the control and the power of good in this world? Hayudi, what does a Jew do in response to evil? The first thing he has to do is matzdik et adin, the Lord is righteous. V'achakach, and then, after declaring God is righteous, we don't understand, but hatzur pamim pa'lo, kol rachav emunah, then hu nilcham b'ra, then man has to take action to defeat evil. Kovsho, to subjugate it. Umaleu, and ultimately to elevate ra, evil, l'dargat ha-tov. Hama'anel is sevel, the response to suffering, hi ha-tshuva, is repentance. Mitoch sivlo, when man suffers, adam ro'meim et atzmo, he must elevate himself, v'shav al Hashem, and return to Almighty God. It's a very paradoxical relationship here. God is bringing evil upon man. What is man's response to that evil? And the answer is a halachic response. It's not a philosophical response. We're not going into the metaphysics of evil. What does it mean that God is just, and how do we explain and justify the Shoah or any other tragedies or suffering? But rather a halachic question. Not why, but what. And the pasuk says in Dvarim Perek Dalet, Batzar lecha umitzaucha kol advarim ha'ela v'akritei amin. When there'll be sorrows, there'll be terrible suffering that'll find you, that'll befall you at the end of days. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokeinu v'shamata v'kolo. I could have read this 10 times without understanding it the way the Rav understands it. Namely, that the response to this tzara has to be v'shavta ad Hashem Elokeinu. Sevel, suffering, mechayevet adam, generates a requirement and obligation upon man. It's incumbent upon man to respond to evil by doing tshuva lasot tshuva. Tguva, the response litzara, he pulata tshuva. Just want to see how we're doing on the clock. Okay, I'll just say a few words of introduction to where we're going from here. Obviously, we're only halfway, or I think two-thirds of the way through this chapter, chapter 4 of Lev Niftah. And what the Rav is going to do now in the next section of this chapter is to prove from Tanakh over and over again that God reveals himself to man at a moment of distress, at a moment in which man reaches a mashver, a crisis, when as a result of the process in which the raya is seeking out the dove and she is unsuccessful in finding the dove, she ends up in a state, as we said before, of leus, of weariness, of exhaustion, until finally she becomes spiritually frozen and dead. That's when God reveals himself. And in the next chapter, in the next section, I should say, which is Gimel of this chapter, the Rav is going to point out from so many different events, he's going to join together all of Tanakh here, that there's a pattern that repeats itself. And that pattern is that when man is in this state of spiritual dross, when he feels rejected, when he feels distressed, That's when God reveals himself. Okay, then? Any questions? Yeah. I'm sorry, I lectured a little too long, but I wanted to get the text. Cause...
Just to understand, doesn't this notion seem very counterintuitive? We would think that the more one person strives to seek, or I don't know if this means that, that seek search also involves like doing the mitzvahs. I mean, I don't know if that's what it means necessarily, but what do we think of that would be the means to bring out a Kadosh Baruch Hu, have himself reveal us? Like, is the Rebbe explain why this far makes sense?
Well, again, I think at this point, I don't know what's coming around the bend, because there are a lot of other chapters here, but up until this point, I think the Rav is addressing universal man. The metaphor of Shir HaShirim is for all of mankind, not just for the Jewish people. The deeper meaning of that metaphor and its interpretation will reflect our Jewish sources as the Tanakh presents it, as Chazal understood it. But the interpretation will be universal in nature. So the function and role of Asiyas HaMitzvos, of implementing the Taryag, is right now, at this juncture, irrelevant to the Rav. Because the Rav is addressing all of mankind. And basically the Rav's message is that you gentlemen are off the mark. With all due respect to your belief in finding God in an intellectual realm with proofs, the cosmological proof for God, the universe is so wonderful and it's beautiful, and Judaism adopts that. We accept that, we affirm that. But that's not enough. There's got to be a faith experience that goes beyond rationality. Otherwise, ultimately, with all due respect to your logical proofs for God, they only work, and they're only going to support that endeavor of man discovering God as long as everything is al-meimenuchot, it's smooth, it's groovy, everything is beautiful, the sun is shining. But when all of a sudden, the world is upside down, the laws of nature are not bringing any sort of fixed, calm, reliable existence to me. When evil and its waves just flood the earth, at that point, out of chaos, God seems to be totally obscure, totally inaccessible. He's a being out there in the finite, infinite spaces of the universe that we are terrified. We cannot even grasp and get a picture of him. We can use negative attributes at best. And that's when the Ish Hadat HaKlali falls apart. So Yadus comes in and says, there's got to be a faith experience. God has to finally reveal himself to man. Now, you and I might have said, well, let God reveal himself to man when things are going well. When man is feeling uplifted, exhilarated, he's full of joy. That would be the perfect moment to dance with God. That would be the moment where the beloved, the lover, should reveal himself to his beloved. And paradoxically, it's not so. The will of God works on a different level. We can never really fathom when and why God reveals himself. But the pattern seems to be that dafka, when the raya gives up, when it's ani yishena, when she goes into bed, she's exhausted, she cannot find, she's been looking and searching in every field, under every stone, looking for her beloved, and she finally gives up hope. She's closed all the emotions, the passionate desire and yearnings for God. Her spiritual personality is dry, is dead. That's when God reveals himself. And again, we have to give the Rav the benefit of the doubt and see if he can convince us that this is actually true. And by taking this discovery trip through Tanakh and realizing that every single time that God reveals himself to man, it's in a situation of either suffering, of darkness, of despair, of bloodshed, of destruction, of churban, we get a whole other perspective on revelation, on the consciousness of man when God decides, I'm going to reveal himself. And you may think that when God reveals himself, we're going to dance and we're going to sing. Not at all. It's going to be a whole different kind of experience. It's going to be cataclysmic. It's going to be frightful. God reveals himself out of evil, out of the strict midah of justice, demanding. He's going to demand full subjugation. He's going to demand Mesiris Nefesh, Chol Nafshim. He's going to demand, as Rabbi Akiva lived up to that demand, to give up his life and be murdered on Kiddush Hashem in the most cruel way, and cling to God in that state of being, singing, so to speak, from his soul, the Shema Yisrael. This is going to be the power of revelation. When God, in a sense, corners man, incarcerates him, reveals himself, and demands absolute subjugation. Very paradoxical. Okay, then, that's where we're up to. Again, we're only at the beginning, so we'll see how the story unfolds. Okay, then? Okay. What about, you'll take care of the pages? Okay, so...
Some knowledge, right?
Yeah.